Hey everyone, welcome to the Relevant Church Weekly Podcast. We're so excited you've joined us today. We hope this message encourages you, inspires your heart, and strengthens your faith. Enjoy.
Father, we just thank you so much this morning for all that, for how you have already been with us, are with us throughout the week, and especially in this moment in gathering together, Lord God. We thank you for the privilege it is to worship you and to worship you freely. And Father, we just join with all of the other churches that are preaching your name this morning, the global church around the world that is praising you, God. And we give you thanksgiving for all that you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So yes, Pastor RJ is not here today, in case you couldn't tell. I send my greetings today, though. She called me and said, "My friend, I need you to come and deliver this word today." And I said, "Where am I going exactly?" And she said, "Riverside." I was like, "Ooh, is there a beautiful river there that I can lay beside?" And she's like, "Sort of. Go to the beach instead." But I was like, "All right, Riverside. What is the kingdom like?" And she said, "Well, it's an empire. It's in the Inland Empire. You're going to like it a lot. It's beautiful." And so I send my greetings from the Persian Empire to all of you in the Inland Empire. And Pastor RJ, she told me, she's like, "I need you, my friend, to come and speak this word because Pastor Jonathan is doing this series called Showing Up. And the way that you showed up for your people in their time of need was incredible. And the way that God showed up in your story was incredible. I need you to tell the people how God showed up in your story." And I looked at her and I said, "Pastor RJ," in Hebrew, she's Rebecca, Rivka, my sister, "have you been reading your Bible?" And she goes, "Yes, why do you ask?" And I said, "Because if you had read my story in the book of Esther, if you had read my story, if you turn on your Bibles or open your Bibles to the book of Esther, where we will be today, you would know that from chapter 1 all the way through chapter 10, can we take a guess? How many times is the name of God used in my story? Does anyone know? Zero, cero, nada. No gloria a Dios is written in my book." And I think Pastor RJ, she knew this. I'm going to trust that she's a pastor that reads her Bible, praise the Lord. But I think that she knew this and she wanted me to come today because I think so often, and as I've been hearing the news as what's been going on in your kingdom here today and within the church, is that a lot of us in the last couple of years, we hear this idea of showing up, but has God really shown up in my story in the last couple of years? Or the last several years. It might have even been before pre-pandemic life. And I'm coming here to tell you, I get it. I understand. From Esther chapter 1 to Esther chapter 10, you will not see Jesus. You will not see the word God. You will not see Yahweh. You will not see Elohim, Adonai. You will not see Prince of Peace. You will not see Father, Son, Holy Ghost. You have to add the because Esther's Pentecostal. But you do not see his name anywhere. And I get it because I was an exile kid. Before I wore the crown, this is my travel crown. I went to your fabulous marketplace, the Amazon marketplace. Amen. Wow, it just comes so quickly. So quickly. We'll just lay that right there. Before I was Queen Esther, I was just Esther Chasadah, the exile kid. I was the kid who I had heard the stories of how God was at work in the lives of my ancestors. I heard how he parted the Red Seas for everybody. I heard how he took down the Egyptians. I heard how he made the walls of Jericho fall. I heard all of the beautiful things that God had done. But when it came to my life, I grew up in exile. I was a part of the people where God had taken our people, put us in a place that wasn't our own, and said, "Make a home there." Our people were scattered. They weren't unified anymore. I was just this Jewish kid growing up in Persia. There was no temple for me to go to worship. The idea of God alive in my story was pretty hard to believe. And I don't know how many of you might feel that way as well. You've heard all of the stories of the things that happen in the gathering and at the church. But when it comes to your story, where is God to be found? And I understand that. And so often, I could have asked myself, God, why? Why am I like this? Why is my family like this? Why am I in this situation? And I don't have the answer to that question. But the thing that I did know was that I was chosen. From a very young age, before I even became queen, I had Uncle Morty, Uncle Mordecai. Uncle Mordecai couldn't be here today, but I heard from Pastor RJ that her husband said he is not being Mordecai and wearing a beard today and showing up in costume. She actually told her husband, hey, I'm inviting Queen Esther, and he said, Uncle Mordecai is not coming because she has a giant beard in a drawer that she could have drawn him up here. But he's not here today, so you can give him some flack afterwards for that. But Uncle Mordecai, I loved him so much. And when my parents died, he said, Esther, you are not alone. You're not going to be an orphan. I choose you. You are going to be Miha. He spoke Hebrew and perfect Spanish and Filipino. Anak, Miha, child of mine. You are going to be my daughter. I am going to be your father. We are going to belong to each other. We are going to be family. I was chosen. And I loved Uncle Morty. And at first I thought, you know, he's not really my uncle, so I can go out in these streets and do whatever I want because I can be like, you're not my dad. But sure enough, day one, Uncle Mordecai is like, my daughter, you're so beautiful. Oh, thanks, Uncle Mordecai. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You are so beautiful inside and out. Yes, yes, thank you, thank you. You have been given so many blessings from God. Oh, thank you, Uncle Mordecai. And because you've been given so many blessings from God, I'm going to need you to cover up all of those blessings until you are married to a man with a J-O-B, a nice Jewish boy who has a master's degree and can take care of you, okay? So when you go out into those streets, you are wearing the same thing that you were wearing when you left, and there's no changing in between. There is no funny business out in these streets. You got it? You are back here by 5 p.m. at this porch every single night. You got it? Like, gulp. Yep, got it, Uncle Mordecai, got it. And I would be out in these streets and out to the marketplace, and you guys have something in your skies that fly around. They don't have big wings. They have, like, little wings that go around like this. What is that called? Helicopter. Yes, he was just like that. The helicopter parent of Persia, just always watching me. I would be walking through the streets, minding my business, and I would just hear, Esther, who are you talking to? No one, Uncle Mordecai. That's right. I would be out shopping, and he would be like, Esther, who's that boy? No one, Uncle Mordecai. Exactly, go home. I'd be out. He'd be like, Esther, see you at dinner at 5. So there was no way getting around the helicopter parent of Persia. Any of you the helicopter parents of your inland empire? Yes, it's okay. You can say amen. Helicopter parents are good. Pastor RJ's parents are here today, too. I know she rose her hand wherever she is. But I would always be home at 5 p.m. because my father, my uncle, was always waiting for me. He loved me. He was always looking out for me, saying, you mind your business, and I'm going to mind your business, too, as you are out and about. Y'all can quote that one to your to your kids when you get out here. But I am minding your business, too, because I love you. I am responsible for you. You are my family. And I probably wouldn't have admitted it as a teenager, but those small investments throughout my life, I appreciated later, as you will hear in my story. And so Uncle Morty and I, we would be at dinner, 5 p.m., and I loved him, and I was a good kid. I obeyed everything that he asked me to do. I trusted him because he chose me. And he one night said, hey, Miha, daughter of mine, did you hear about the king? I'm like, no, what about the king? Did you hear that he kicked the queen out of his house? And I said, Queen V? No one kicks out Queen V. What are you talking about? Yes, he kicked her out. She is now an ex, as in she is in exile. I'm like, ooh, that is the worst case of the ex I've ever heard. And then I was like, did she get a prenup? Nope, she didn't get no prenup. She is out. And I said, oh, wow, that's some juicy information. As we were talking, we hear a knock at the door. And we see that outside there are commissioners from our town everywhere walking out with all of my friends and all these young girls, and they are looking right now for the next queen of Persia. It's a casting call, like you see on your Instagrams of casting call, The Bachelor, King of Persia edition. And so they come to my door and they say, you are someone the king would like. You need to come with us. And my uncle Mordecai, he knew that he couldn't say no to this. And he said, Esther, one thing you need to know is to keep your ethnic identity to yourself. Keep your family background a secret. And so I go to this casting call, and sure enough, I'm keeping all of my blessings covered until I'm married. But ooh, looking at all of my friends and people that I knew, those girls were wearing itsy bitsy, teeny weeny, yellow, everything. All the dresses that Uncle Mordecai wouldn't even let me look at in the stores at all, if you know what I'm saying. They were thirsty for this spot with the king. They were looking for Ring by Spring, their MRS degree, all of the things. They wanted the crown. And the producer of this show, he saw me and he said, you're different. I choose you, chosen again. I give you favor. Girl, come to my salon chair. Let me tell you all of the things the king likes, all the things the king doesn't like. I'm going to give you all the best beauty treatments. Hello. I'm going to give you the best hair treatments. Come. And, you know, I might have not seen God in my story, but you know the feeling when the salon person, they do that head massage while you're getting your, yes, I was like, glory to God in the highest. He is in my story today. Amen. Hallelujah. It was so wonderful. He was telling me everything I needed to know to be the next queen of Persia. And he said, the king has enough of your, can I say hoes in church? No, he has enough hoes. He has enough concubines. Some of y'all are like, nope, don't do it. Mom, I know you didn't raise me to talk like that. But he had enough concubines already. It's the same thing, right? Yeah. Okay. Much worse things have been said from this pulpit. Again, okay. So, the king's had enough hoes. Is that okay? All right. Sorry, Mom. He had enough concubines. What he is looking for is a wife. So you just be you in everything that's been given to you, everything that has been taught to you, and you're going to be just fine. And so we start the show, we start the parade, the limos of camels start coming out, the girls come out and be like, hi, I can't think of a good name, I'm so-and-so from the town of Susa, and eventually he locks eyes with me, and from the moment I walked off of the camel, it was love at first sight. I got the first impression rose. I got all the group date roses. I got all of the roses. And sure enough, at the very end, the king, he got down on his knee. He didn't just give me my ring by spring, but he said, Esther, to you I give my favor. To you I give the crown. Will you be my wife? And I said, yes. Oh, and it was beautiful. We had the Disney fairy tale wedding of Persia. It was gorgeous. You should have seen my dress. Oh, it was beautiful. It was beautiful. It was everything that I could have hoped for. And the news, they told about it throughout all the land. They're like, who is Esther? From rags to riches. Vashti 2.0. Vashti's gotta go. Poor no more. Queen Esther, the queen we needed. Queen V or Queen E, who is going to survive? It was I, Queen Esther. Y'all are funny. Oh, I can do this. I can do stay in character. All right, so Queen E was on the throne, and I had everything that I could possibly need. I had a husband who loved me. I had riches, I had power, I had not just a husband who loved me, but he was willing to give me anything that I needed. And you would have thought that my Uncle Morty, especially considering now that I had all the best protection in the world, I was already married, that he would just chill out a little bit, that he would just go home and retire and be like, yes, I have done my duty as a father. We're good. But y'all helicopter parents, y'all who raised your hands, you know, once a helicopter, always a helicopter parent. That's the helicopter sound. I have to practice that. Once a helicopter, always a helicopter. And so he would always be at the king's gate, always listening to all of the news that was going around town. Anything that I might need to know for my safety and for the safety of my people. He would come to my balcony and give me updates what was going on in the city. And you know what? I actually appreciated it. Because one day there was an assassination plot against my husband. And he heard it at the gate, and he was able to tell me, and we were able to thwart it, and my husband was saved. Now, unfortunately, sometimes helicopter parents, as y'all know, y'all get in trouble. Y'all get in trouble with people. Mm-hmm. That's really silent right now, because they're like, mm-hmm. Yep. I know. It's worth it. But my Uncle Mordecai, he was at the city gate, where he would always be watching, always listening. And there was this man in my king's court. It was his right hand, Haman. And he was chief narcissist. He's like the guy on the TV shows of The Bachelor, The Bachelorette, who you know they're just on there for followers or fame or their Fresh Fit Fun Box or their sponsorship deal that they get afterwards or whatnot, or they play their song and then it ends up on the radio. He was there for the fame. He wanted the power of the king. He wanted as close as he could get to being king. And so one day, knowing that he is secondhand to the king, he pulls out in his Rolls Royce of a camel and rolls on into town, rolls through the king's gate, and expects everyone to bow to him. Now, Uncle Morty was a man of tradition, of principle. Our people do not bow to other people, especially not even the king of the land, especially not our God, especially not idols. And he refused to bow. But when he did this, Haman, he saw this watchman, uncle, father of mine, and he said, I need to figure out who this is. It's just dug a web in his heart, and he said, I need to figure out who this is. And he followed that web until he found out that he was Jewish. And so he goes to my husband, the king. I had no knowledge of this. And he whispers in his ear, he tells him, the Jews, you can't control them. They are disgusting people. They will not follow your laws and your decrees. They are a threat to your very rule. And so he sets a plot for the genocide of our people, for killing all of us. And I didn't hear of this news until one night I woke up and there was a smell of ashes in the air. There was the sound of crying all around. Women and men just crying out to God. And I told my servant, go find out what's happening. And so he goes, and he sees Mordecai at the city gate in sackcloth and ashes. And because he's in sackcloth and ashes, and he's fasting and he's mourning, he's not allowed to go past the city gate unless he's in regular clothes. So I send out regular clothes to him. I say, please come, Uncle Morty, I need you to tell me what's happening. And this is the one time he doesn't come, for this is the time that he needs me. And he says in the book of Esther, he tells of the plot that is about to happen to our people. And he sends a message that says, Esther, I need you to go to your husband, the king, and implore on behalf of your people to beg him for mercy to stop this. And when he said this, fear just struck my heart. I sent a message back that said, all the king's officials and the people of the royal provinces know that for any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned by the king has but one law, that they be put to death unless the king extends the gold scepter to them and spares their lives. But 30 days have passed since I was last called to go to the king. Queen Vashti, she was banished for going into the king's presence. What more could happen to me? I could lose my very life. You are asking me to show up right now, unannounced, where someone else, when they did that, there was failure. There was punishment. There was condemnation for it. You want me to risk my life. You want me to show up when my message might not even get to him. I might be killed on sight. What good would this be? And so I sent this message out to him of, I don't understand how this is possible. How do I show up where somebody else has failed? I don't know if I have that kind of faith to make that move. When my words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer. Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. I thought back on the stories that Uncle Mordecai had told me. Though you don't see the name of God ever written in my story, this is where it's implied. Let's look at that verse again, verse 14. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. Will arise from another place. Not might, not if you don't do this, we're going to die. No, deliverance will come. That was his faith. There was a promise given to Abraham that those who bless our people will be blessed. Those who curse our people will be cursed. The history shows that God delivers over and over again. The question is not whether or not he will save us, is will you show up for the story? Will you show up for the part that he wants you to play? So often, church, we debate, is God in this? Is he in my story? Where has he showed up for me? But the question wasn't so much that for me as, will you show up in the story that I am asking you to play out right now? Oh, okay, good. That wasn't me. That's tech rehearsal. Do we have a second service? No. Okay, just keep going. So, will you show up in the story that I have given you? It's not so much am I in your story, but will you show up in the story and the position that I have given you? Because I will save your people, but will you show up? And if Pastor RJ were here, because she was asked to talk about service and showing up in our service, it is very easy for a pastor to say, you know what? The church is really broken right now. We need people in seats. We need more people serving. We need. We are in such a dire time. This is one of the scariest times of the church. The church is tired. We are barely holding on. But the thing is, as Pastor talked about last week in the gathering, God is here in our gathering. God is here. He is going to continue to grow the church, to heal the church, to send the church. Christ loves the church. We are going to be okay. We are going to experience deliverance. We are still going to experience miracles. No matter what is going on in the culture around us, no matter what is going on in the politics around us, the church will prevail and the gates of hell cannot stand against it. The question is, are you going to be a part of that story? Or are you going to sit silent on the sidelines? Will you show up to serve, or will you let your faith die on the sidelines? The most dangerous place for faith to die is on the sidelines of what God has promised you, what God has promised the church. It will continue. The question is, will you show up for the story that God is unfolding? And so in this, Mordecai continues and says, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows, this is the famous line that many of us have heard, and who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. I was in a position of great favor, consistently chosen, consistently given more than what I could ask. But it wasn't a position of just power. It was a position of service. My power could easily be used just for me to consistently live in comfort. And as this situation arose, to live in the comfort and the hope that in my position I could put my faith, that I might be saved, that my king loves me, that I have all the money I could ask for, the armies could fight for me, who knows? Or I could use my position to serve my people. The peace of the identity of who I am as a child of God. You have all been given, because of the Holy Spirit, a position of power. The question is, are you going to use it just for yourself? Or are you going to use it to serve the body, the people that God has given you, the family God has given you? And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this? So I said, yes. I sent a reply and I said, I can't do this alone. This whole weight can't be on me. And the beautiful thing is, we are not doing faith alone. You are not living your story alone. You are not serving alone. But I knew that I needed my people. So I said to Mordecai, go, gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. I had said, if I'm going out, at least I'm going to show up to what God has called me to do. And so I went to my king. And sure enough, my heart was thumping as I entered into his court unannounced after 3 days of fasting, which, by the way, how long was Jesus in the grave? Just some theological little nuggets to chew on. How long was he in the grave before he resurrected? How long were my people in mourning and fasting for me when I decided to step out and to show up where I could lose my life, but instead I kept it? For I had favor, for I was chosen. I looked into the eyes of my husband, and he said, Esther, and he held out his scepter, saying, of course you can come here. You are my wife, you are chosen, and I love you. He didn't even think anything of it, and he said, up to half the kingdom I will give you, whatever you ask. I'm willing to give you even more, more power. And I said, well, I got a little bit shy, and I said, let me invite you to dinner. And after a couple of dinners, the story goes that my people were saved. I could go through the whole thing because it's a beautiful story of mine. But for those of you who don't know it, I was able to tell the king of my issue, and Haman was hanged for his treachery against my people. And I was given more, and my uncle Mordecai was raised up and standing within the kingdom as well. And my people were saved. You see, I had been entrusted with much, and so I had much to give. In Luke 12:35, it says, be ready for service and keep your lamps burning. Like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. I had been given much, entrusted with much, and I deemed that I was ready to serve my people and to give back what God had given me, which was my very life. My challenge to you today, church, I want to highlight a couple of people in my story. But this is for all of you who perhaps say, the last couple of years have been beyond difficult. And in all honesty, some of you might still be asking, where was God in my story? And I hope that even as I read mine to you today and shared with you today, though his name may not be mentioned, that you saw where I was continually chosen and put into a position where he could use me and where my life could be given away and where my story connected to that, not of just myself, of my salvation, but that of my people. We as a church have been entrusted with much. Are we willing to give it away? Are we willing to? I know Queen Vashti, she failed of coming into the king's presence. Are other people's failures keeping us from stepping to where we need to be? Because God has chosen you. Though I am royalty today, you are all royalty. You are called a royal priesthood of believers that has been given so much. The people that we see in my story, I just want to highlight some of them and see if you see yourself in some of them. These are the people that the church needs. The church does need. God will still deliver us, but this is the part that he asks us to play. There's that of Mordecai. He was, as I said, the helicopter parent, the watchman. He was my keeper. There have been people over the last couple of years, especially when the pandemic hit, and this is not to guilt anybody, that for whatever reason you kind of took some time to yourself, you took some time to your family. Perhaps this might be one of your first Sundays back. But Mordecai was the one within our people. Though we were scattered, though we had lost a lot of our sense of identity, he said, I'm watching for my people. I'm going to stay here and listen and see what is going on. My family who has died, I'm going to keep watch over their daughter and take her in as my own. Though there's so many things going on around us, I'm going to stand in the gap for the time when we are restored yet again, when we are brought back together. I am going to keep watch and be vigilant and be a messenger for where there is danger. There are people in your church right now who have served, and we say thank you that throughout this pandemic, you have been the watchers and the keepers of the church. You have been the ones trying to keep and hold things together, serving our kids, serving our youth, hosting services online. You have done so many things just to stay and keep us going. You have been the messengers to come back. Because at the time, our people were all over Susa. And I said, Mordecai, I can't do this on my own. And that's the second group of people that we see. He's the messenger that says, everyone come. Esther, she is going to speak on behalf of us. God is going to deliver us, but we need you to play your part. These were the people who rallied, who said, yes, there is something going on in the church right now. There's something going on in our body. We are crying out and we are mourning, so we must come back together. We must pray. We must fast. We must go against this spiritual warfare together. Service is also in your prayers. Service is also in your fasting. We haven't gotten quite there yet, but it is in your fasting. It is your ability to say, my body is hurt, as in my sister is hurt. My brother is hurt. There is something going on, and so I am going to give up pieces of things that are comfortable to me so that way I can serve you. I am going to pray with you. If we could take a look at the people that are up there. They are the called out ones who have responded to the cry. They are the spiritual warriors. And last but not least, as you see, there was my position. There are the people of power. There are the people who are positioned. If we can go to that slide there. You have been given great power. I was the one who was chosen. I was the one who was consistently given favor. But I also understood that in order for me to serve my people, I had to be willing to give up everything that had been given to me. And the best example of this that we'll end here is that of your Savior, Jesus, who, if you turn to the book of John, or turn on to the book of John, and this is where we will end today. Chapter 13. Jesus, who had the highest position in all of heaven, in all of creation, who wore a crown, who is our king, he said, I'm willing to give up this crown. I'm willing to give up my robes, all to tie a towel around my waist.
Which I don't know how this is going to work out. I didn't practice this part.
He took his position of power, and our king did not come to serve, but to serve. And in this moment in John chapter 13, it was just before the Passover festival, and Jesus knew the hour had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them till the end. And so at this time, he takes his towel and he begins to wash his disciples' feet. He washes them over and over again, getting in all those crooks and crannies. Jesus became the one who was like, I'm giving you the beauty treatment today. I'm giving you the pedicure. I'm giving you the ministry that you need right now. And the disciples were kind of confused by this. And in John chapter 13, verse 34, after he's washed their feet, he says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. This isn't just talking about love and, ooh, I love you, but it's in the washing of their feet. It is in their service. He gave them the example of, this is me washing your feet. Now this is the love language that you are to show to each other. You are to serve one another. So think of it this way, of serve one another. As I have served you, so you must serve one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you serve one another. Because serving is the love language of the church. The question is, with all of the power that you have been given, all of the power we've been given as a church, all of the positioning that God has done throughout our entire lives, are we going to use it for the comfort of our position, or are we willing to give it back to the one who gave it to us anyway, and to serve each other and love each other, to be the helicopter moms and dads of the church, to be the watchmen and watchwomen of the church, to be the prayer warriors of the church, to be the ones who love our kids. And when we see someone in families who are broken and say, I'm going to love your kid too. I'm going to love you too. I'm going to be your sister in faith. I am going to serve you too, because people will not know that we love Jesus just based off of Instagram posts or how often you come to the gathering. They're not going to know by how many Christian t-shirts we have. They are not going to know by how boldly we preach the word, but will you serve one another? By this, they will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So let's not let our faith die on the sidelines, but let's choose to show up in our service to one another. Let us be willing to give ourselves away for the sake of the kingdom that God has given us to rule, to create in, to love, to serve, because that is the position. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for this word that you have given today. We thank you that it is true. King Jesus, we even just raise our hands up now and say thank you that you came down for us, that you didn't come to necessarily rule over us. You came to serve us. You came to show us what love is like. You came to show us what it's like to give up your position, to be in a position to understand our hearts, to be in a position to understand our stories in a whole new way, to literally enter our story where we didn't think you were there, Lord God. Jesus, we thank you. And we just put out our hands before you now, Jesus, and say that we want to give ourselves to you as well. Lord, would you show us in each of our hearts how, where you have called us to serve. How do we give what we have been given and give it back to you? How do you take all of the skills, all of the knowledge, all the education, all of the street smarts, all of the experience, all that you have given us in our story so far, to give back to the glory of your kingdom. Would you show us that this week as we show up for you? And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. Special thanks to those of you who give generously to this ministry. It's because of you that this ministry is possible. You can click the link in the description to give now or visit relevant316.com/give for more information. If you enjoyed the podcast, you can subscribe, share it through your social media, and tag us. Once again, thanks for joining us. God bless.